Amen. Good morning. Thank you for coming to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's all stand and sing.
When all I see is the mountain, you Nature and all created things.
about we get around and shake someone's hand this morning?
We'll arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms, in the arms of Christ my Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 stars. It's shouting time in heaven, a sinner once lost is found. It's shouting time in heaven, salvation has been brought down. No wonder the angels rejoice to know my sins have been covered by the crimson flow. And now I'm feeling fine. I'm walking on the highway with my Lord, my name is written down in the courts above.
Good morning, good morning. If we could work our way back to our seats. In Hebrews 9:22 we read, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It's our Lord and Savior's blood that saved us, our Jesus Christ. Let's sing Glory to His Name, page 527.
Oh,
338, singing at Calvary. Turn to page 295, singing Revive Us Again.
Good morning and welcome to Assurance Baptist Church. We're so glad you guys decided to come and worship with us today. We want to take this time and welcome any first-time friends or guests. So if it's your first time at Assurance Baptist Church, if you'd raise your hand, our guys in the back got a gift for you. They're coming up. We got a couple more towards the front, Brother Bud. We got a gift and a packet for you, and if you would, fill out the bottom and then just turn that in either to myself or Pastor or Brother Brandon or in the offering plate at the end so we can record your visit. We're so glad you came to worship with us today. But we're going to get started with a word of prayer, and then Sister Bev's going to come and sing for us before the message. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, God, for the opportunity to come into your house and worship you. As we move into the time of preaching hour, Lord, we pray you'd fill our preacher with your spirit and your power, that we'd be convicted by your word today and apply it to our lives. God, we pray today, if there's someone here that isn't saved, that today they'd realize their need for a Savior and that they would trust you today. Lord, we pray that you'd be honored and glorified through the services here this morning. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Of this sermon series, and we're looking at today the steps of a miracle, the steps of a miracle. So the steps to a miracle, an encouraging word. You know, one of the common phrases people use these days is that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the same result. If you do what you've always done, you'll get what you always gotten. Ahab is now the king of Israel, the northern unified kingdoms. And Ahab is a very wicked king. And the Bible says he's more wicked than his fathers or any of the other kings of Israel. And Ahab goes one step further. He marries a woman that we don't hear very many people named after in our culture, named Jezebel. If you're called Jezebel, young ladies, that's not a good thing. And this is the evilest, vilest woman. Now married to this evilest, vilest king. And in the face of all that, the first mention of the prophet Elijah is given to us in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah has been summoned by God to go into the face of this wicked king and let him know there will be a drought, that no rain, not even the dew will fall from the sky because of your wicked ways. And Elijah has been summoned by God from Tishbe in Gilead to come and to tell him, you are messing up and there's not going to be any rain. You're not going to be able to do the things that you've wanted to do because of your wickedness and your condition. Elijah is standing in front of the world's power when he stands before King Ahab and goes in and tells him this in front of the world's authority. And Elijah has nothing but the word of God and the power of God. And with our mouths open with the word of God and because of our God, then our God will provide our every need. In every area of our life, and it may not be what you want, but God will provide what you need. How he provides is what we're looking at today. How God provides is what we must come to grips with. Anybody in here, God provided something in your life and it wasn't exactly the way you expected him to or the way you wanted him to? He gave you a car, but it wasn't the car you wanted. He gave you a house, but it wasn't the house you wanted. He gave you a relationship. Now, if your relationship's in the room, don't look at them. He gave you a relationship, but it wasn't the relationship you wanted. He gave you some kids, but it wasn't the kids you wanted. You know, God sometimes will give you some things, and it isn't the way that you want it. But let me just tell you today, sometimes God is doing things, and these are just the steps he's taken to a miracle. These are just the steps, you know. I wasn't looking for a little blonde-haired, green-eyed wife. Be quite honest with you, I was 21 years old. I wasn't looking for a wife at all. I remember going to dinner with my friends, and they said, Bryson, you'll be the first one of us that gets married. I said, you guys are stupid. I'm never getting married. That's never going to happen to me. Me? Do you know who I am? I'm Gangster B. There's no way I'm getting married. We're sitting there at dinner. We know you're the first one. And you know what happened about 6 months later? Here comes this pretty little blonde hair, green-eyed girl. And I said, hey, I kind of like that. And you know me. I crept in. I said, excuse me, miss. What's your name? Can a brother get those digits? And, of course, she said, well, of course. You know, she said, how could I turn down somebody like you? I know. And now all these years later, you see, it's the steps to a miracle. She's still with me. Amen. That's the steps. Sometimes what you're not looking for, God provides in different ways. But we've got to be willing to do some things when the word of God comes unto us. Let's look in our Bibles. 1 Kings chapter 17, in the very first verse. If you're able, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word this morning? The very first mention of the name Elijah in the Bible, the prophet, the great prophet, very much likened to Moses and his ministry. And we know Elisha comes after him. But today we look at Elijah. And the Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord, hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zareph, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day you've given us. Lord, thank you for your word that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we ask today that you hide me behind your cross. Allow me to only speak Jesus today. Allow the listeners today to not be hearers only, but doers also. We pray and ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Number one, when the word of God comes upon us, sometimes we just need to get out. Look back in verse 3. Elijah's, the word of the Lord comes upon him. And in verse 3, the first thing God tells him is to get out. Look back there in verse 3 with me. The Bible says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. And he says, go away, hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is tapping us on the shoulder and he just wants us to get out of the way. You ever been in your own way? And God is tapping you on the shoulder and he's saying, I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to bring a miracle to you. I'm trying to bring some goodness to you, but you won't get out of your own way. Now, Elijah's not necessarily in his own way, but where he's from, being a Tishbite in Gilead, Gilead is the place where we saw Gideon withstand the Midianites and Jacob's last meeting there with Laban. The place that he's at, he says, I got to get you out of there and away from your people into a place where you can hear my word. And then the word of the Lord came unto him again. You ever watch one of those old thriller movies? Not like Michael Jackson Thriller, but like, or a crime series. And you know something bad's about to happen, but the stupid people on the television don't know that something bad's about to happen. And you're yelling at the person from the other side of the tube, and you're saying, don't go in there. Don't go in. Why would you go out into the woods in the middle of the night all by yourself? And why the girlfriend ain't never got no shoes on? If you knew you was going out in the woods and you heard, you should at least put your sneakers on. You saying, please don't go out there. They're going to get you. Sometimes God is saying, please don't go in there, but we're too dumb to hear it. We just keep on walking right into it. And then we wonder why when something busts us upside the head, we wonder, God, why did you allow that to happen to me? Well, the word of the Lord already came up to you. You keep on doing the same things you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. Sometimes, you see, he says, we want you to turn. We've got to not just repent, but we've got to stop going the way we've always gone and go a different change. Hey, listen to me. Life doesn't come with a remote. Sometimes you got to get up and change. I was the remote when I was a little kid. Anybody else like that? And we had to turn the knob like this on an old wooden TV. Some of y'all too young to know about that. You had to click it like this. And if you're really old, you may have had to have some antennas and you might have put foil on that bad boy and had to stand like this. And your parents say, Knott's Landing is on him. Stand over there. And you stand there during Knott's Landing. Yes, ma'am, I stand here. So that they can see Knott's Landing in Dallas on TV. So I'm still wondering who shot JR because I couldn't see the TV because I'm holding the thing like this. All the young people said, now what is a Dallas and a Knott's Landing and who's JR? Don't worry about that. Don't worry. You can Google. Hey, listen, if God says don't go in there, don't ask him no questions. If God says don't go that way, don't ask him no questions. Just don't do it. If God says get up out of there, get up out of there. Some of you got some friends, some relationships, some people in your life, and God has been tapping you on the shoulder and saying, get away from them. Get out of that situation. Don't make a boundary and get away from them, and you won't do it. And you keep allowing them to treat you a certain way. You keep allowing them to come into your life and act a certain way, and then you got the audacity to ask God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? He already told you to get out. He already told you to get away from it. People call me, I don't like my job, Pastor. Quit. What? Lots of people's hiring. You know what my boss used to tell us at the jail? When somebody said, I don't like working here anymore. He said, Wendy's is hiring. You don't like? Now listen, you should have another job lined up. Don't just be out there jobless. But you don't like your job. But then this is what I find out from people. You don't like your job, but you ain't never looking for a new one. You just stay at that job complaining. God done tapped you on the shoulder and said, it's time for you to leave, but you just go to work every day mad. I can't believe the boss made us do this. I hate this job. But you won't never look for a new one because you're too lazy to get on the internet and Google search and see where there's a job. You go right around North Dayton and you'll find a lot of places that say, help wanted, now hiring. There's lots of things you can do, but don't get mad at God if you don't get the miracle because you're not willing to get out of the situation that you're in. I mean, this is just Bible. I mean, I don't know, Xavier, but last time I checked, Elijah said he didn't ask no questions. He said, the Lord said, this is first mention of Elijah. And God says, I want you to go to the most wicked king that's been in the history of Israel. I want you to go. He got a wife named Jezebel, and she's a hussy. And I want you to go out there, and I want you to talk to him and tell him, it ain't going to rain. I'm not even going to send dew on the ground and do it. And Elijah didn't ask no questions. He said, get thee hence, and he went. And in verse 5, it says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. God's tapping you on the shoulder, that still small voice, the Holy Spirit speaking to you, just listen to it. Number two, if you want that miracle to come, the steps to a miracle, give in. Give in. Look at verse 5 there. The Bible says, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. You know what Elijah could have said? You realize what the Jordan River is, right? Now, it's really dirty these days, but even in their day, it was dirty. Later on in Elisha's ministry, you're going to see him heal someone, and Naaman. And Naaman's going to say, sin was filled through, because that's the river that they had to pass through Israel going into the promised land. And he could have said, God, I don't want to drink from this brook from Jordan. It's nasty. Ravens. He said, I want you to be fed by the ravens. Look at Leviticus 11, 13 through 15. Elijah's a Jew. The Jews couldn't even touch a raven. And these are they which we shall have an abomination among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle and the ossifrage, which is the type of eagle, and the osprey, which is actually a seagull, and the vulture, and the kite after his kind. A kite is a hawk. Every raven after his kind. They're not even allowed to touch a raven or any scavenger animals. They're certainly not allowed to eat it. And now, God, you want me to take something that's been in the raven's mouth and eat that flesh and the things that you bring from that? Elijah would have been going, Lord, I don't want to do this. But God says to him, hey, watch. I know that I told you not to touch them, or you can't even eat a raven, but I'm going to feed you by one, because this is, or by some, because this is who I am. Because if I feed you by the hand of a raven, then it's okay. No, listen to what I'm saying. Are you willing to give in? Are you willing to submit to the will of God to see the miracle? Are you willing to submit to the will of God to see the miracle? I don't watch it as much now, but in wrestling, but UFC, Ultimate Fighting Championship, you know, one of the ways that you can win is by knockout or technical knockout, TKO, or by submission. And you know, it's almost, when I was a young guy, I thought, yeah, get him. And now I get older, and it almost hurts me to see someone get submitted when someone's getting the life choked out of them, triangle choke or whatever kind of choke they've got. It almost hurts me, because what you're seeing is someone is imposing their will on another man or woman so much to the point where they're struggling to get out, and the only way that you can get them off is if you tap out. When you tap out, it means I'm done. I don't want no more. When we were little kids, you make them say uncle. I remember my cousins giving me a noogie and saying, say uncle. And then when I got bigger than them, I whooped them all. Now, some of us need to tap out to the Lord's will. The Lord is we're a stiff-necked and stubborn people, aren't we? The Lord is literally trying to get your attention by choking, essentially, spiritually, the things out of your life. He wants them out of your life, but we're so stubborn that we're refusing to tap out, and we can't see the miracle when we won't give them up, when we won't give in to it. Can I just address it for a moment and be real honest with you this morning? Sometimes, just like the River Jordan or the Raven, what God's going to ask you to give into doesn't seem like the most likely thing to give into. Doesn't seem like the easiest thing to give into. Sometimes God's tapping on you and saying, I want you to give in to this. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about these people. I want you to go out of your way to be a part of this thing or that thing. And we're holding on to what we want, and we don't want to do it because it just seems odd. With all reality and sincerity this morning, I did not desire to come to Dayton to start a church. My will was to go to Indianapolis, and I was going to be there because I just like Indianapolis. And that was my will. I just like the city. I like the downtown. I thought, you know what? If I get to Indianapolis, I'm a little bit closer to Chicago, and so deep dish pizza. And I mean, there's all kinds of good things about Indianapolis, right, in my mind. And God kept saying, no, this is where I want you. And then I would say, God, okay. Well, let me start a church in somewhere else. Let me go to Beaver Creek or Bellbrook or Centerville or somewhere, you know, that seems to be more affluent and a little closer to home. And God kept saying, no, I want you to go to North Dayton. I said, I don't even know anything about North Dayton. So the only place I knew in North Dayton was Trotwood, because of the Salem Mall when I was a kid. And then, you know, wouldn't you have it to be known? Actually, Brother Kent McInerney was in the van that day. His dad drove there, and I drove back. They were going to Ireland for a missions trip. And I didn't want the raven to feed me. I didn't want to drink from the brook. And so God said, well, I'm going to make you give anyway. So I took the wrong turn coming out of the airport, coming back after dropping my pastor and his family off, where I should have went left. Says, I turn right, and I go over some dam. And I'm way up in the air. I'm like, what is this place? And it says, welcome to Inglewood. And I said, what is Inglewood? And I drove around, and God changed my heart. And I said, I kind of like this place. I called my wife, and I said, hey, we should. And then they said, I said, what's the school up there? They said, it's called Northmont. I said, oh, what's their mascot? And they said, T-Bolts. I said, what the heck is a T-Bolt? And I promise you, the very next Sunday, we pulled out of our sending church, and somebody, I don't know who it was to this day, was pulling out, and on the back, they had a Northmont T-Bolt band decal on the back of the car, Bible Baptist Church in Wilmington, Ohio. And I thought, God, this is the last thing. But you know what? When I tapped out and I did what God asked, the miracle came. Amen. We have to give in to the will of God, even when it's by, you know how dirty a bird's mouth is? Now, this literally happened. This is not allegory or figuratively. Elijah's out there all by himself out in the desert, and God says, I'm going to feed you by birds. Now, I probably could have drank out of the river, but when the bird came, it said flesh in its mouth. Where did the bird get the flesh? I mean, it's a raven, it's a scavenger. So it's like he went over and just picked up skunk butt and was like, here, Elijah, eat this. That's how I read the story. You know what I mean? He's like, oh, you know what? There's roadkill. Cool. This is exactly what we're going to feed Elijah. Here, Elijah, are you hungry? And like, appetizing. You know what I'm saying? This is a snake and steak. I don't know. Snake and shake. I don't know. But I don't know. He said, will you eat this? And it's a stand. You say, it's still not working the way, you go again. Number three, you go again. Look at verses 7 through 9. Oh, I know some of y'all, because I'm the same way. Lord, I'm too tired. Lord, I've been dealing with this for so long. Lord, I can't believe this is happening again. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Sometimes the only way y'all ever say Lord is when you say, oh, Lord. You never come to him in prayer and say, Lord, help me. You just say, oh, Lord, here we go again. Oh, Lord. But listen, when you see this, I want you to get it and say amen and shout when you get this morning. And it came to pass after a while. It went on a while that he's being fed by a dirty old raven, a scavenger. It's been a while that he's been drinking out of the brook, and now the brook dries up, and Elijah could have said, now God, you're the one that told me to drink from the brook, and now it's dried up because you're the one to tell me to say there's not going to be any rain or dew, and now it's dried up because it hasn't rained. Look at verse 8, and so he goes on here, and the word of the Lord came unto him again. So before the miracle can come, God says, I want you to go through these steps. Now watch what happens. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. He said, now I'm going to sustain you in a different way. He says, I'm going to sustain you by the hand of the widow, but I want you to see what happens before the miracle comes. Listen, you don't know what God's got for you until you're willing to get out and give in, until you're willing to go again. Give in to his commandments and do what he says, even in a scary situation. The miracle comes often after getting out of your own way, or getting out of the way of the mischief, or getting separated from the world and giving in to the Lord, not our flesh, and doing it all over again when he says to. There's been lots of times in my life where, hey, I've got out and I've given in and it didn't go exactly. It worked for a little bit of time. Anybody here do good for a little bit? You can sustain it for a couple of weeks or a month or so. You say, I'm doing so good. I don't adhere to the Bible reading calendars. I don't, because as soon as you get through week one, you done skipped a couple of days, and then you're mad at yourself. I can't believe I'm at the beginning of the year. I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. I'm going to read it from Genesis to Revelation. Man, it ain't even been January 12th yet, and you done skipped 3-4 days. You trying to play catch up. You got to read 12 chapters just to catch back up to where you was. I'm going to read. And then you halfway through the year, you get convicted about it again. You supposed to be all the way through the minor prophets, and you stuck there at Exodus. You talking about, I guess it ain't going to happen this year, Lord. We'll try again next year. You're so worried about it. And all I'm saying to you is, sometimes you got to go again. God says, okay, this happened, but let's try again. Let's do something again. Sometimes the brook dries up. You ever been going good and the brook dries up on you? You got a week where everything seems right. Everybody at work was nice to you. Somebody even complimented, girl, your hair looks nice today. This has been a good week. You went home and everything was nice and everything was working and you laid down and you got good rest. And you said, this was just been a good week. And as soon as you got a good week, the brook dries up and the next week all hell breaks loose. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My wife knows. I tell people, don't tell me nothing bad today. Kind of like we were talking about Wednesday night. Let's not think on negative for a moment. Let's think on positive. I always ask my staff, tell me something good that happened yesterday. Now, I do have to deal with that and say, did anything happen that I need to know of? But I never ask a meeting, what happened bad yesterday? Because I hope nothing bad happened. But if it did, can we at least get through, let me get a cup of coffee and sit down first before we got to discuss all that jazz? But you know, the brook's going to dry up from time to time because the world is the world, people are people, and reality is reality. The brook didn't dry up because of anything Elijah did. It doesn't have to do with your sin or your problems. The brook dried up because God's command was to dry it up because he was punishing the rest of the land. He just had to be a part of it. Realize this, bad things happen in our life because God's punishing all of us for the curse of sin. And so even when you're doing your very best, you're still living under the curse of sin, so bad things are going to happen. You can be the most devout, best Christian person, and you still might get cancer. You can be the most devout, best Christian person, and somebody in your family might still die. We got to realize sometimes the brook just dries up, but it's not a reason to just give up. It's more of a reason to get out of our own way, to give in, and then to go again because the miracle is about to take place. So now Elijah has been told, go over here, and this widow woman is going to sustain you. But if you're a Bible reader, you know the story, and if you don't know the story, good, we're going to tell you about it this morning. But look at verse 17. So Elijah goes, and he says, hey, can you make me a cake and give me something to drink? I'm thirsty. I'm about to the point where I'm about to die. I'm hungry. I've been eating food out of this nasty bird's mouth. And the lady says, I don't have enough for a cake, but I got a couple of little, some meal over here, little parcels. And all I got left is enough for me and my little son because we're about the point where we're going to die. And Elijah says, well, listen, I'm working for God. And so if you'll go and do this, it's going to be enough to sustain all of us. She says, okay. Well, they do it. Looks like the brook is flowing water, but the brook dries up. And in verse 17, it came to pass after these things, what I just told you, the things that happened, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. He died. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? She thought because of some sin she did that her son died. Her brook dried up. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid upon him in his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God. He didn't say, Lord, why are you letting this happen? Lord, I can't believe this is going on. Lord, again, I just got fed. The brook just dried up, but you just gave me some water through this. I'm meeting this little lady and her son, and now you let him die. He didn't do all that. He said, Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? He's talking to him, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Now, this is what I love. When the word of the Lord comes upon you, if you'll get out and get in and go again, then all of a sudden the Lord starts hearing your voice. The Lord starts hearkening unto your prayers. The Lord starts hearing what you got to say. He came back to life. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that thou, the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You see the steps that it took for a miracle to take place? Had Elijah denied the Lord and not gotten out of the place he was, he would have never been directed to the woman. Had Elijah never given in to what the Lord wanted for him, you got to eat this raven food from his mouth. You got to drink from this brook. He never would have been directed towards the woman. When the word of the Lord came unto him again in verse 5, if he didn't get up and say, okay, Lord, now you told me to go over here and be fed by a raven and drink out of this brook, and now you want me to get up and go somewhere else, Lord? If Elijah had said no, a lot of us would have said no. I'm done dealing with it. See, it's the steps to a miracle. When I was in college, when I would come home from Wright State, the first 2 years of my college I did there, in the summertime, I would work for Superior Flooring, and I don't know much about construction or building or flooring, but they said, well, he looks young and dumb and strong, and so I was the carrying person. They let me do some wet saw cuts on ceramic tile, but I didn't get to do much measuring or anything else. They just said, no, we just want you to take things and stack it in the truck and unload it. And, you know, most of those projects in Wilmington, Ohio, were pretty easy, and, you know, you get 4x8 OSB backer board, and you carry it in on your head, and, you know, it's long and wide, and it's fairly heavy, and I would carry that stuff in, and I'd carry in boxes of ceramic tile, and I'd lay them down for my boss, Joe, and they would, him and his apprentice, Ryan, would do the work, and I would just go back in. Now, this is summertime. It's hot on the pavement, but one time, we go to a place, and it was, at the time, a bar, and if you've ever been to Wilmington, Ohio, you'll come into town on 68 and you'll see two staircases that are very high going up into a building. And a lot of people do senior pictures and things there. So if you've never been there, I'm going to guess that there's probably 20 steps on each side. That summer it felt like 50. But there was an elevator in that building. And he said, we got to get all this backer board up here to do the floor. And I said, I don't know, we probably had 200 sheets of backer board. It was a big place upstairs. I said, well, I'll put it in the elevator. He said, I don't think it's going to fit in the elevator, but you're welcome to try. So I went to the elevator. I tried every single way. This stuff doesn't bend, you know. I tried every single way to finagle that into that elevator. Wasn't going to work. My boss said, the only way to get that in here is for you to carry it up the steps. All of it? By myself? Then my next question was, today? So I was unloading that, putting two on my head and walking up 20 steps and lay it down. You know, the first 10 or 11 trips when you're 18, 19 years old, you know, it seems doable. But by trip 13, 14, I hated everybody. People were driving by, it's right on the main stretch of town, people were driving by honking, I'm like, honking me? Get out here and help. What you talking to me for? You know, I'm sweating. I'm carrying it up there. And I just hate everybody. My boss was like, okay, good job. Don't talk to me. You over there in the air conditioning, laying tight. Like, just don't talk to me. Mad about it. I don't want to do this no more. And I thought about it. Man, you know what? I just want to get out of here right now. I'm looking for anybody. You know what I mean? I'm looking for anything. I'm looking for one of my boys to drive by and I can just get in the getaway car and get out of here right away. I didn't want to give in to that and keep doing it. And I kept on doing it and doing it and doing it. I get up there. You know, I probably got half of it done. I said, boss, man, you know, we start about 7 in the morning. It's probably about noon. Boss, he said, we're going to lunch. Okay, I'm going to go to lunch. He said, you think you can get the rest of that done by the end of the day? Well, I mean, I guess. So I go. I said, boss, can I be done today? He said, no, go again. Go, just keep going. You can do it. You know, I carried all that up there, and they laid the floor, and it was a bar for a few years. And do you realize that a couple of years later, I had no idea that my parents were going to a church plant and that that building ended up being their church? All that backer board that I carried up there, all that time, and the miracle came later. Following the steps of getting out of my own way, thinking I couldn't do it, because I did it. I got all 200 of those sheets up there in that period of time. Giving in to the will of my boss and saying, okay, he knew I could do it because you know what I realized about my boss? He had done it before. He'd been doing it for 20, 30 years. He'd had hard days. He didn't start off being the boss. He'd had to work and do that before, so he knew I could do it because he had done it. See, when you listen to God, if you listen to him, you know you can do it because he said you could, because you know he can do it. And then the miracle is, the blessing is, when you've got all of that done, and he says, now, you think you got it done, you think you got it all figured out, and he says, go again. The reason why we keep going again as Christians is because we know at the end of that going again is the miracle. That's where the blessing is. Let me close with this. God is in the miracle business. And I know from the Word of God that God is not necessarily trying to give you all the desires of your heart, but he is trying to give you a heart that desires the things of his heart, just wants of his will. He wants you to be in his perfect will, but God doesn't just want you to follow his will or listen to his will. He wants you to be happy in his will. See, the story that I get here with Elijah is, Elijah, now God, your word says in the law that we can't eat that. We can't be touching no ravens. He says, if that's your will, Lord, I'll just go. He says, I don't want you to go this way, Elijah. I want you to go that way. He says, I'm not going to argue with you, God. I'm just going to go. There ain't no back talking. Anybody got any back talking children? Ever had a back talking child? Anybody in here was ever a back talking child? I know some of y'all. I know some of y'all as adults. I know y'all was back talking as children. Some of y'all, some of y'all's lips ain't fixed the same way they was when you was born because all that back talking you did as a teenager. You done got them slapped up a little bit. Some of y'all's facial structure has been changed from birth because of the way y'all. Isn't it so much better when you're a person in authority or you're the parent and someone does it out of not just because you've asked them to do it, but they do it because they realize it not only needs to be done, but they want to do it? Isn't it so much more of a blessing when somebody just gets up and does something out of their own sheer will rather than when you have to tell them to do it? All the ladies in the house today, all the ladies, they will feel me on this one. I'm going to get the fellows in trouble for it just a second. But all the ladies would say, I don't want to have to tell you. I don't want to have to ask you, watch this, to help around the house. I don't want to have to ask you to help with dinner. If I got to ask you, watch this, the ladies would say, I might as well just do it myself. Because you know if you ask, you won't get back talk. I don't even know how to cook. Most of us been lying for years. We don't know how to cook. We know how to cook, but we just thought you would do it if we acted like we didn't know how. I don't know. I don't even, stove? Is that Greek? What is that? It's like oven? In my world, you know, it's like, you know, this is Spanish at my house, microwave. Like, I don't even know how to do that, you know? So you tell a young man, you say, hey, have you been vacuuming at the house? You've been helping around the house? And they're like, vacuum? What? And then this is what they always say, nah, we got one of them robot vacuums. I go around there, it does it by itself. It goes into the charger and everything else. I'm like, mm-hmm. Tell me what kind of guy you are. Nah. Isn't it so much better when somebody just does it, when they just come in and they just say, you know what? I'm gonna wash up my hands and get this dinner made tonight. Fellas, let me give you a little tip, pro tip. If you're married or you got a girlfriend, if you just go and you just do some stuff without them having to ask you, oh man, your life's about to get better. These are the steps to a miracle. Now listen to me. You say, this is what I hear young guys say, it's impossible to please my wife. She's mad about everything. She ain't never happy. I can't never do nothing right. But you ain't taking the steps to a miracle. You ain't getting out of your own way. You ain't giving in to what she would like you to do, and you're not going again. You did it one time, and then you think that's going to last for the next year. Well, remember that time I cooked dinner? It was 3 years ago. Don't get no credit for that, dog. Remember, I cleaned the house. Yeah, in 2013. Just go home. Just be consistent. Just be like, you know what? I think I'm going to make dinner tonight. Even if it's nasty, she'll appreciate it. I've seen women that she'd be, it's delicious, babe. Oh, God, that's what she's thinking in her head. Like, if you went home and cleaned, even if you didn't do it the way that she would do it, if the effort would be appreciated. Listen to me. God, in the same vein, the effort is appreciated. God didn't ask you to be perfect. He asked you to serve a perfect Savior. So if you'll just say, God, you know what? I'll get out of the way, and I'm going to give in to what you ask me to do, and I'll be willing, even when it gets hard, when the brook dries up, I'll go again. Even if it's nasty and I got to eat from the raven's mouth, if you told me to eat from the raven's mouth, I'll do it. If it's not where I want it to go, if it's not what I want it to do, I'll do it anyway. And I'm telling you, these are the steps to a miracle. Let me give you just two more examples from the Bible, the steps to a miracle. What happened? All the apostles had to go through a whole bunch of stuff, but Peter, James, and John saw and got to go through a whole bunch more stuff than the other apostles. And Peter got to be on the boat when Jesus said, cast on the other side of the net and let's do this, and all these other things were going on. But Peter, James, and John also got to see the miracle, the transfiguration, and at that transfiguration, this very same Elijah is there with Moses, and they say, oh, Lord, we got to see this. Let us build some altars to these. They got to see some cool things, didn't they? Steps to a miracle. What about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul has a miraculous conversion on the Damascus Road, and the Apostle Paul is told to go down there to Ananias' house and get baptized, and the scales roll off of his eyes, and he can see once again. And he goes out, and the very first thing that Paul does is he goes and preaches and teaches, and they're going, I can't believe this is Paul. He was just killing Christians, and now he's preaching about how he loves Christ. And Paul got to do all these things and all these hard things. Paul gets bit by a snake. You can recall what Paul says. I've been bit by the snakes. I've been shipwrecked 3 and 4 times. I've been beaten with stripes. They talking bad about me. They over there saying things about my mama and everything else. They're beating all my little friends up. I'm going to prison here. I'm going to jail here. I'm standing before this one there. And all that stuff happens. And at the end of Paul's life, Paul has the audacity, after all that stuff, he says, I fought the good fight, right? I've kept going the right way. He says, but my reward is not where you think my reward is. My reward is coming, because there's a crown that's laid up for me, and it's a crown of righteousness. It's out there in the distance. It's out there in heaven for me, and it's laid up for me. And when you look at that, what Paul is saying is, sometimes, now watch this, this is big news. Sometimes the miracle and the steps to a miracle you're never going to have here on earth, sometimes the miracle you're waiting for is in heaven. It's laid up for you. People want all these things on earth, but God said, he says, Jesus says, hey, listen, don't put your heart and your treasure here on earth, because all that stuff is going to rust and moth are going to corrupt it. But he says, lay your treasures up in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt. See, some of what you're looking for, some of the miracles and the blessings you're looking for to get out and to get it, to give in and to go again, you're not going to find it here on earth, because it won't last. God wants you to have an eternal miracle, even our souls. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, thank you for this day you have given us, Lord, for your word. Lord, we ask today, and as we've seen in your word today, you want to bless us. You're able to help us to get out of our own way. Sometimes we got to get out of our own head. We overthink it. Sometimes we just got to give in. We want our will to be done, but the word of the Lord says, but thy will be done, not my will be done. Sometimes we just need to go again. I've been going so hard, Lord. I've done it. But sometimes it's just time to go again. And today, as the music begins to play, let me talk to the lost soul today. You're lost if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't have to be a bad term, because one cool thing about being lost is Jesus Christ is seeking the lost to save them, that you might be found. You hear this morning, you say, Pastor Bryce, I don't even know what you're talking about. Let me simplify it by saying this. If you died today, do you know 100% sure that you would go and wake up in heaven? That's the eternal miracle that Jesus Christ has for you. If you can now answer that question 100%, I know for sure that if I died today, I would wake up in heaven, then this part's just for you. Hear the words of the Bible. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. You've made mistakes. If you can accept that you've made mistakes, then the Bible says you're a sinner. And because God is of much more pure eyes, he cannot even look upon sin. Nothing can enter into heaven that is defiled and sinful, even if it's just one sin. So in order to rectify that situation, God, in his love for us, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in doing so, Jesus Christ, his Son, went to the cross, took your place and my place on Calvary's cross, took your sin upon him, and there sin was killed. And he buried it. And the third day he arose, and in raising from the dead, he proved that he's victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And now Jesus and Jesus Christ alone is able to offer you forgiveness. The church cannot offer you forgiveness. The pastor, your friends, your family, knowledge of the Word of God, church attendance cannot offer you forgiveness. Only Jesus Christ alone can forgive you and save you of your sin. You're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I don't know much more, but I know that I want to be forgiven. That's all you got to know today. And if you want to be forgiven, then you just have to repent. Turn away. Get out of the way of sin and harm and turn towards Jesus. You're not sitting here thinking, oh, well, I would never be good enough, or I can't live good enough. Jesus didn't ask you to. He asked you to stop where you're at now and turn towards him. He'll start. If you'll believe that Jesus Christ did die on that cross to pay for your sins and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can put your name in there for whoever, whosoever, whoever you are today. If you want to call upon the name of the Lord, let's give you that opportunity right here and right now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, only my eyes are open. No one's moving around. If you say, Pastor, I want to be saved and know it today. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose it. Because the Bible says, no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, Jesus says. I and my Father are one. If that's you today, you say, I need to be saved. Would you pray this prayer in your heart and in your mind, not for me or for anyone else, but because you believe it and because you want to be saved? You don't have to say it out loud, but saying, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I believe your son Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sin. Lord, come into my heart, save my soul, and help me to live for you from this day forward. With heads bowed and eyes closed, on my left-hand side, your right, nobody else is looking. I'm not going to come to your seat or call your name. I just want to be able to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right here, right now, in silence this morning. If you say, Pastor Bryson, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I want to be saved, and I prayed it, and so now I am saved. If you prayed that today, on my left, your right, would you just raise your eyes right to me? Just raise your eyes to me real quick, and I'll acknowledge you, and we'll move on. Anybody on my left-hand side, your right today, I prayed that prayer. Anybody there? What about on my right, your left? Anybody that prayed that prayer? So that's me today. I accepted Christ as my Savior. I prayed and asked him into my heart. Anybody on my right, your left? Amen. Christian, what about you? What is it that you're not getting out of in your life? Perhaps something you're not giving into. Perhaps God's told you to go again. Do it over again. Follow me again, and you've not been willing. I encourage you that those are the steps to a miracle today. God's got something waiting for you if you'll be obedient to his voice. When the word of the Lord comes unto you, will you hear or follow? Lord, we pray that you'd have your way and will with this time of invitation and appeal. If there's one here today that wants to join Assurance Baptist Church, make this their church home. Today's the day to come. Maybe you need to be scripturally baptized. You've been saved but never baptized. Maybe you want to make a public stand, a profession today and say, I'm saved but I need to be baptized. All of those are decisions you can make right here at the altar. And if you didn't look at me but you accepted Christ and you prayed that prayer today, certainly would you come down the aisle this morning and slip out of your seat and we'll talk. Right from the Bible, men with men, women with women. Let's have everybody stand here. Let's sing the invitation song together. You come as the Lord leads you today.